The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Gemara in Masechta Gittin. And afternoon, hey, I'm a days. Omar Yechanan. Yechanan said, "My dixi vashli adam afachel tami rumach sheli beyipu bro." That's what it is written. How fortunate is a man who is always afraid. And someone who hardens his heart, someone who's arrogant, he will fall into evil. Akamsa bar kamsa. This refers to what the Gemara is going to tell us in relation to the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. It was because of Kamsu, Bar Kamsu, Chorv Yerushalayim. There were two people. One was named Kamsu, the other was Bar Kamsu. Because of them, Yerushalayim was destroyed. Atanagula v'Tanaglusa, Chorv Tur Malka. Because of a hen, a rooster and a hen, Tur Malka was destroyed. Tur Malka means Haramelech, the mountain of the king. This was a place in Eretz Yisrael which was enormously heavily populated with Jews, and Ashako the Rispak Chor Beitar. A certain story the Gemara is going to tell us which means the side of a wagon. Beitar was another city that was full of Jews, that was a stronghold, a very, very strong metropolis. This was destroyed. And the Gemara goes on to relate what happened. We'll quote some of it. Kamso bar kamso, ahu gavro derachme kamso, bal devav bar kamso. There was a fellow by the name of Kamso. And another one by the name of Bar Kamso, and another person who was very good friends with Kamso, but was enemies with Bar Kamso. Ova Sudoso, he made a great simcha, a great suda. Omer el Shamei Zil Aisili Kamso. He said, "Go invite Kamso." Also Aisile Bar Kamso. Instead, he went and invited Bar Kamso, the other person. Also, Ashkechei Davi Yosef, he came into the banquet and he saw that he was sitting there. Omalei Michti, Ahu Gavra, Bal Devavad, Ahu Gavra, Ahu, my boys, Hocho. He says, you're my enemy. What are you doing here? Kum Fuk, you must go out. Omalei Oyil Vosoi, Shafkun, Vehevina Locha, Demei Madachino Veshesino. So he said, "Look, since I'm here already, leave me, and I'll pay you for whatever I eat and drink." He said no. I'll give you half what the whole banquet is costing you. He said no. I'll give you what it costs the whole suda, because, excuse me, it's an embarrassment for me to get up and leave in the middle. He said no. He picked him up and he threw him out. Omar, so Bar Kamso said, "Oil v'avi yasvei rabbonan v'lemochu bei shma mino konichelohu." Since there were many rabbonan here, and they didn't intervene, from here I see they were happy with that I was thrown out. He became very, very angry. And his wrath glowed. Ezel echel bukutze be malka. I'll go to the malka. Now this was taking place not too long before the churban, the destruction, and the Romans were already in charge. They had a very, very great power over Eretz Yisrael. So he said, I'll go to the king, to the Caesars, I'll go to the government, and I'll incite them. So he went, and he went to the Caesar, and he said, Mor debachoy Yudoy, the Jews are rebelling against you. And the story goes on, and they asked him, how do you know? He says, well, I'll tell you, send them an animal to sacrifice and see if they'll sacrifice it for you or not. And he took the animal, and while he took it, he made a mum, he made a blemish in it. So Israel, the Klal Yisrael, wouldn't be able to sacrifice it. And he brought it to the, and it came to the Rabbonim. And the Rabbonim didn't know what to do. To sacrifice it, they couldn't, because it had a mum, it had a blemish. Not to sacrifice it, they knew that this could be inciting, and we must be very, very careful with the goyim, especially if they have power over us, not to incite them. So they thought maybe we should sacrifice it anyhow, even though we're not allowed to, mishum shlei malchus, because to save the peace. If not, it could be a question of shfichas domim, of bloodshed. Omer l'urib Zechariah ben Avkulis, one of the sages was a Zechariah. And he said, we cannot do that, because then the people will say, but balimum in kreven l'gabi mizbeach, that you're allowed to take a balimum, an animal which has a blemish, which is not perfect, and sacrifice it on the mizbeach, on the altar. Sovel miktele. Vilelez of lemo. So then they were thinking, maybe they should kill this fella, bar kamso. And he'll never be able to go back to tell the Romans whether they sacrificed it or not. Omelur Reb Zecharia said, then people will say that if you put a blemish in a sacrifice, Yehoreg, you get killed for it. Meanwhile, because of this and because of that, no action was taken. No action was taken. The Romans found out that they refused to sacrifice it. And this brought the downfall to Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara comments on this. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, im v'sonusei shel Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulis. It was through the inaction and patience of Rabbi Zechariah. Echribo es poteinu, v'sorfei sochaleinu, hecholeinu, v'glisonu me'adzeinu. Destroyed our Beis HaMikdash, burnt the Hegel, and caused us to be exiled from our land. From here we see that it's indecision which leads to no action. It's not always good, because it was through this, the lack of an action being taken, that the Gemara says, which eventually brought this downfall. Eventually, they came and they laid siege to the city for 3 years and caused enormous hardship and affliction on Yerushalayim. And then eventually they came and destroyed our Beis HaMikdash. This was the second Beis HaMikdash with the Romans. Titus came and we went into Golus. Then the Gemara tells us further. The Gemara says at the end of this story, and that Nun Zayin, Tam Yomer Blozer, Bo Urei Kamagdei Lakeche Shel Busha. Come and see how great the power is of Busha, of shaming someone. Sharei Sae HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Bar Kamso. Here Bar Kamso was shamed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard his cries, and he helped them. Through this to destroy our Beis HaMikdash and the Hegel. Now the Gemara tells us, Atanagula Vatanaglusa Chorev Tur Malka. Tur Malka This was the city, an enormous city. Well, it was more than a city, it was a mountainside with many, many cities, an enormous population. And the Romans destroyed this afterwards. And because of a rooster and a hen. What's the story? It was their minog, their custom, that when a chosen and a kalo would be getting married, mafki kamayu tanagula vetanagusa, they would bring before them a chick, a rusin, a hen. Kleimar, to say, peru uruvu ketanagula, that you should be fruitful and multiply like this rooster and hen. There's almost nothing that produces, so many offsprings or so many eggs as the rooster and the hen. Yumachad have a kocholif gugda deramai. One day, a division of Roman soldiers were passing by, and they saw the rooster and the hen, and shaklinu minayo, and they took it away. They were hungry, and they wanted it. Naflu alayim b'chunu. People became very, very angry, because this was not just taking a rooster and a hen, but this rooster and a hen was a brocha for the chosen and kala. So they went and they attacked, a group of Jews went and attacked the Romans and beat them up. Osu omru leila kesar. So it was, they went and reported to the Caesar, Mordu boch Yehudoi. The Jews are rebelling. Wasalayu. Caesar sent his divisions to start war against Turmalka. To give you an idea of just how big Turmalka was, how many people there were, the Gemara brings here in this place there was Yane HaMelech, and he had Shishim Rabua Yoris, 600,000 cities there. Domar of Yehuda Maravasi, Shishim Rabua Yoris Hoyele Yane HaMelech Bahar HaMelech. Rabbi Yehuda said, in the name of Ravasi, there were 600,000 cities on this mountain that belonged to Yana Melech. V'chol achas v'achas hoyu bo ki yetzi Mitzrayim. And each one had the same amount of people in it that went out of Egypt. That means each city had 600,000 men. Chutz mishlesh, with the exception of three, shoyo behem kiflayim ki yetzi Mitzrayim. They had double the amount, not 600,000, but double that amount. If we make a calculation of how many people that were, it comes to a calculation of 39,600,000. We're living on that mountain. The Gemara brings further Oma Ulele di Kozili Ahu Asra Vafili Shishin Rivoso Konile Maxik. Ulele said that I've seen that mountain. And even 600,000 nests for birds, it cannot hold. How can it hold that many people? Omale ahut steki le rabchanina shkuri mishkarisoi. Reb Tzadik, excuse me, at Stoki, that was an unbeliever, He once said to Reb Hanina, he says, how can you say that there were so many people on that mountain when that mountain is not large enough to hold that at all? On Malay, Eretz Tzvi Ksiv. Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Tzvi, a land which is like a deer. Matzvi ze ere machzikes besorei. Af Eretz Yisrael bizman sheyeshvin aleho rafcho, bizman sheyin yeshvin aleho gamdo. The skin, the hide of a deer, is very tight. And if you'll ever take the hide off the deer, you'll never be able to put it back on again. When the deer is in it, it stretches and stretches to hold the entire deer. When the deer is out of it, then it shrinks to only a percentage of that size. This is what is meant by Eretz Yisrael as Eretz Tzvi. It's like a deer skin. When Jews are in Eretz Yisrael, land stretches and stretches to hold them, no matter what number. When they're not in Eretz Yisrael, then the land shrinks. So this was the story of Tur Malka. Now the Gemara tells us a third story. Ashaka de Rispak Chori Beitar. Another great center of Jewry was Beitar. This was a krach godel, a great fortress. Yumachad have a kochal for Barte. No, excuse me. They also had a custom. When a young boy would be born, Shasli Arzo, they would plant a cedar tree. Yenukto, Shasli Turniso. When a baby girl was born, they would plant another type of tree. Rashi, might be a pine tree. It's another type of tree. When these two would grow up and they would marry, the boy would get married to another girl, this girl would get married to another boy, meanwhile the other people did this also, Kaitzilahu, and they would cut down the two trees, the one that was planted for the boy, the one other one for the girl, and they would make a chupa from it. A chupa was the house they would move into when they were married. This was their minhag. Yumachad have a kochal for Barte the Caesar. One day the daughter of the Caesar, the princess, was out riding in her chariot. Ipar sako de rispok. And the chariot broke. A wheel, an axle broke. And her soldiers went and started to fix the chariot, and they needed a good piece of wood. So they saw this cedar tree, Kotzo Arzo. They cut down the tree, Ba'ailo, and from there they got a good strong piece of wood to fix the chariot. When the Jews saw this, they became outraged. Here, this was planted for his son, and now these Romans are coming and cutting it down. So they went and they beat up all the soldiers. The soldiers went back to the Caesar, and they told them that the Jews are rebelling against you. He sent in his divisions and they wiped out Beitar. This is what the Gemara says, that Akamso Bar Kamso Chorv Yushalayim. Yushalayim was destroyed because of Kamso Bar Kamso. Tur Malka was destroyed because of a Tanagula Vetanagrusa, a rooster and a hen. And Beitar was destroyed because of Ashaka the Rishbok, because of this broken chariot wheel. First thing is, the Gemara comes, starts this whole shiur that the Gemara is giving here. Incidentally, it goes on and on. I just quoted a very, very small part of it. by saying, bringing from Rabbi Yechanan, Asher Yodim Efachei Tomid, Makshali Be'yipal Baro, that it's fortunate for a person to be afraid. And he who hardens his heart, he will fall into evil. What does this have to do with the whole business? So Teishra says, now this was a time when Klal Yisrael was at the top. We are a Beis Hamikdash. Yerushalayim was full of people. For the Malka and Beitar, when we say full of people, we're not talking now that we've been in the Golus for so long and through all of the pogroms and all of the afflictions and all of the Holocaust, our population has been kept to a minimum. Like we said here, there were close to 40 million people just in Tur Malka. And Yerushalayim was the Yir Ve'im, the Olam. Yerushalayim was the metropolis of the world. And there was great brocha. Wealthy people. Mora brings here that there were three people in Yerushalayim that were so wealthy that they said during the Roman siege they could hold off, they could hold the city up, the entire city, for 3 years. This was the wealth they had. Tosfos says because of that, the people were very arrogant. And they didn't care. And this was one of the great problems. Shabotchu al reiv tuvosom. They had numbers, they had wealth, they had strength. They had strong armies. You see here, anytime the Romans started trouble, they took care of them. And they relied on it. Al reiv tuvosom v'shalvosom. They relied on all of this. And therefore, didn't bother them. If a great tragedy or a great episode like Bar Kamsa would take place where someone publicly got thrown out of a banquet hall, or to stand up against the Roman soldiers. And they weren't mefachid. And that's what Rabbi Yechanan is saying, Ashri Adam Afachet Tomid, they should have been daig min aperonies. That no matter how much wealth one has, and no matter how much strength one has, and how well populated you are, you still have to be careful. You have to be careful to see that things like this do not happen, and you have to have much foresight and deliberation before action is taken. And this didn't bother them. They were too strong to worry about these things. And that's why Rabbi Yechanan said, Ashrei Adam Afachet Tomid Umak Sheli Be'Yipal Baro, he who harms his heart through these things in the end will fall into evil. Had they been more careful, much of this could have been avoided. The Maral in his Pirush in Netzach Yisrael, Perikei, he adds to this. He says, in particular, there was great chet, there was great sin in that generation. The proof of it is because that was the generation of the destruction. And people were aware of the great sin. Except it was, everybody was riding high. It was boom time. See? And because there was great hate, he says, at that time, people have to be very careful. When we see that there's chatoim, great sins going on in the nation, by the people, then we have to tread very carefully. Ashri Adam Afachet Tomid. Generally, no. But when there's great hate going on, we must tread carefully. And that's what Rabbi Yechanan was saying. And they didn't tread carefully. So therefore it was Yipul Baro. We see also many times when there's a big boom, there's a lot of money around, and everybody's having a good time, we don't care anymore. We think nothing can affect us, nothing can harm us. Now we can ask, why was the Churban divided into three parts? States first Yerushalayim, then Tur Malka, and then Beitar. Secondly, we can ask, is it because of these things it was destroyed? Because of the single episode of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, or because of a chicken and a hen, or because of the broken wheel of the chariot? So I'd like to say over some of the explanations from the Maral on this. Eretz Yisrael was given three brachas, three great brachas. First, it was given the Kedusha Shashchina. It states it's the land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself seeks. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself dwells there. The Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeks the welfare of every land, and he takes care of every land. But every land he takes care of through a malach, through an angel. Eretz Yisrael he takes care of by himself. And he seeks its welfare itself because he dwells there. Hashem Sheichem B'tzion. So the first and foremost bracha of Eretz Yisrael, that it's the land where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen for he himself to dwell. This in particular is in Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is the Shekhinah, Tzion. This is where Hashem dwells. This is his place. Now there's a second mile in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was given a bracha of riboy, a bracha of great multitude. This, we see, was especially manifested in Tur Malka, in that area of the mountain of the king, like the Gemara told us, of how many cities there were, 600,000 cities, each one the size, had as many people as those that were going out of Egypt. A third bracha that Eretz Yisrael was given, that of keach, of strength. That bracha was especially manifested in Beitar. Beitar, the Gemara always refers to as a krach godel. A krach always referred to not only a large city, but a strong city. So the physical strength of Eretz Yisrael in particular manifested itself in Beitar. Now, the main bracha was the Shekhinah. The other brachas came because of the Shekhinah. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled in Eretz Yisrael. So from there came the Birchas Ariboy, great multitudes. From there came the Birchas Akeach, great strength. But the Sheirish, the source of the brachas, was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu lived in this land. Therefore, Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash was the source of the brachas. And therefore, first Yerushalayim was destroyed. Once Yerushalayim was destroyed, once that bracha was lost, then it was just a matter of time before Tur Malka would be lost and before Beitar would be lost. The Gemara in Masechta Brachos, in the first perek, that tells us that a person himself is similar to the Beis HaMikdash and similar to Yerushalayim. It states, "Kol mi sheyesh b'das ki ilu nivne Beis HaMikdash b'yomov." If a person has das, if a person sanctifies himself and he develops in himself and perfects in himself, the das HaTorah, it's as if he rebuilds the Beis HaMikdash during his time. There's another Chazal that states that if a person does not rectify the Averus which caused the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, if he would, then the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt. If not, it's key. It's as if he's destroying it again. The reason why a person is similar to the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim is because what is basically the Beis HaMikdash? Beis HaMikdash is made out of Eitzim Vavonim. It's made out of physical matter, wood and stone. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and put his Shechina into that house. Make for me a place that I can dwell. This is what the Beis HaMikdash is, and this is what Yerushalayim is. This is what a person is. A person is made out of physical matter. Ofer min adama, he was made from the earth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils, vayipach ba'apov, a nishmas chayim, also a part of himself. So in the person is the Shekhinas Hashem. In this way, the person is similar to the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, if he sanctifies himself, it's ki'ilu nivne Beis HaMikdash b'yomav. It's as if the Beis HaMikdash is being built. If we go further into this, a person has a heart, a lev. And the lev is the center of the person, and from there goes out the nourishment to the entire body. This represents the Mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. States that the Beis HaMikdash is in the center of the world. The Mishnah Masechet Yuma, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he started with one rock, and he wove it, Eben Shasir, and he wove around the rock the entire world. And that's the rock which is in the place of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of the Holies of the Beis HaMikdash, and this became the center of the world. This is the Lev Adam, the heart of the person. And just like from the Mokam HaMikdash, Brocha went out to the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and even to the rest of the world, so by the person also, from the heart, goes out the nourishment to the whole body. Then a person has a right arm, and he has a left arm. What does the right arm represent? The right arm represents strength. Beitar was also, that was the right arm of Eretz Yisrael, that represented the strength, because that is one of your main brachas that comes from the heart. What does the left arm represent? The left arm represents multitude. Why? The left arm was created to help the right. A person doesn't do with his left. He does with his right. If he needs help, he brings in the left arm. This means the right arm is one hand. He does with one hand. If he needs two hands, he brings in the left. The left arm is called the Mishnah Lamelech. Mishnah Lamelech is Sheni. Sheni Lay. A king is one. There cannot be two kings. And the king won't be very happy if you tell him that there's a second one. See? Ein shnei melachim mishnamish b'keser echad. There has to be one king. So what does he need the Mishnah Lamelech for? When he needs help, sometimes two are better than one. Sometimes you need a team. This is his Mishnah Lamelech. But the king is always one. The right arm, this represents the kayach, this left arm is what is used when you need more than one. This represents ribui. And also the word Mishnah Sheni is the beginning of the number of two. So this was the same. The person is made similar to Eretz Yisrael. You have your heart, your lev. That's the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. You have your yamin. The yamin is the kayach, the right arm, that's beitar. And then you have the left arm. This was Turi Malka. See, the mountain of the king with all of its multitudes. That's just the first bracha is the bracha of the kayach, and the second bracha is the bracha of the ribui. Another remez to this, the Maral brings, is... is the Gemara says Haraitzel Ashir Yatspin. Someone wants, the Gemara gives in Balbasar Perkameches Asfina, the Gemara wants to give different skulas. If you want a certain brocha, which way you should face and be mispalel. So Haraitzel Laashir, if you want Ashiris, wealth, Yatspin. You should turn towards the north. Now, wealth is ribui. See, that's multitude. What side is the north on? The front of the world is the east. That's where the sun starts its day, in the east. It's called Mizrach. Because Al Shem Zrichas Hashemesh, that's the beginning of the shine of the sun. Mizrach means to shine. It's also called Kedem. Kedem means the front. Yehuda, that was the king and he camped in the front. So his place, his campsite was on the east. If you face east, if you face the front, so where is north? North is to the left. The left, we said, represented Birchas Aribui, that multitude, because that's the Mishnah Lamelech to the Yad Yamin. So therefore, these three brachas, the Birchas Ashchina, where the Shechina was, and that was in the heart of Eretz Yisrael, and then a bracha of Keach, that was Beitar, that's like the right hand, and the bracha of multitudes, Tur Malka of the left hand, that man was also created with that pattern. And therefore it states, Mishi yesh beidas kilu nivne beis hamikdash biyomov, if a person sanctifies himself, so he is building the beis hamikdash Yerushalayim Eretz Yisrael in his days. If on the other hand, he brings tuma, he brings impurities to himself, this is korban. Now when we speak of the first bracha, the bracha of Shechina, the main bracha of Shechina, and which is the bracha of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, was that to be mi'ached es ha'am, that of oneness. The Rambam brings He says, what was the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash? And he summarizes it in one statement, right at the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Mitzvah zeh la'aseis bayis la'Hashem. It's a mitzvah zeh, a positive commandment to make a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For what purpose? Li'ayis makrivim bei korbones v'chegigin olav shleish pomim mashona. In order to bring korbones sacrifices, and where all of Israel can come three times a year. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was that we could have a place to bring sacrifices to Hashem, one place, and where all of Israel would come together three times a year. This was where we unite ourselves with Hashem, and all of Israel unites themselves together. The Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash represented this power to unite all of Klal Yisrael together. We have David HaMelech wrote in Shir HaMalos, Kapitel Tilim, Kuf Chof Beis, Shir HaMalos L'David Samachti Beimrim Li Beis Hashem Nelech. When they told me that I would be going to the Beis HaMikdash, actually he wrote this, Hashem Osi. He didn't live during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, he laid the foundations for it. But the one who built it was his son. But he says, it was great rejoicing for me to go to the Beis Hashem. Omdus hoyu ragleinu b'shorach Yerushalayim. We stood in the gates of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim habnuyo ki ir shechubur olo yachtov. Yerushalayim would be the city which would unite all of us together. Shishom olu shvotim shifteko edus l'Yisrael. Because there all of the shvotim would go, all of the tribes would go. What is he saying? Before the Shekhinah chose to dwell in Yerushalayim, the Shekhinah would dwell in many places. And he had no permanent place. And since the Shekhinah would dwell in many places, so there were many cities that were similar to Yerushalayim. And the Shvatim, Klal Yisrael could go to many cities. States Hutra Habomes. The last Mishnah Masechta Zvochim. That until we came to Yerushalayim was Hutra Habomes. You could go to many cities and bring sacrifices. So one Shevet could go here and another Shevet could go there. There was Hebron, there was Tel Aviv, there was Haifa, there were other cities. There was Shiloh. And the Shekhinah had not found one place to dwell in. When the Shekhinah finally found Yerushalayim to dwell in, Yerushalayim was called Nachlo. The final inheritance of the Shekhinah. And the Beis HaMikdash was called Beis Olamim, the everlasting place of the Beis HaMikdash. Once Klal Yisrael came to Yerushalayim, and the Beis HaMikdash was built there, Nasru Habomas La'olam, then never again can we sacrifice any other place. So this created a situation which David HaMelech said, Ki ir shechubra lo yachtov. This became the city, the only city that united all of Klal Yisrael together. Shesham olu shvotim shivtei ko edus Yisrael. It became the only city where all of the shvotim had to go. And they couldn't go to other places to serve Hashem. And like the Rambam says, we were commanded to build a place
where we would bring our sacrifices, and all of Israel would go there, Yom HaPomim HaShonah, three times every year. So the Kedusha of Shechina that was in Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash was basically to unite Klal Yisrael. That this would be the Nachalo, this would be the all-encompassing place for the Shechina, the only place for this, for that level of Shechina, the only place where Klal Yisrael can bring korbanei sacrifices and where they will all come together. Therefore, it's Ir Shechumra Lo Yachtov. It's the only city which unites us all together. The further, it became the place of the Sanhedrin Agdola, the seat of the great court, and Kimitzion Teitzisora, and from there and only from there, certain halachos could be transacted for the entire world. Kiddush Levana, the calendar, could be made only from there. And not only that, the Rambam brings at the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim he says that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash and Beis Din HaGodol, Beis Din HaGodol Shibishlaim and Ikoteira Shebalpeh, the great court, the great Sanhedrin, this was the pillar of our Torah Shebalpeh, of our Torah. And he writes in Aloha Dalad, Kishoya Beis Din HaGodol Kaim Lohei Samachlekes B'Yisrael. When the great court stood, and it stood right on the compound of the Beis HaMikdash, there was no machlekes in Israel when it came to any judgments or decisions. Before then, there were many courts. So one court could rule one way and another court could rule the other way. So you had some followed one court and another followed another court. So you could have division in Israel. But once we had the great court, there couldn't be any division. Because whenever there was a dispute, it would be brought to the great court. And the great court had to resolve it. There couldn't be a dispute in the great court. Because there was an odd number of judges, the Achrei Ram Lahatis. They had to resolve it, either with a unanimity or with a majority opinion. And once their decision was resolved, then no one could do otherwise. If a judge would give a judgment otherwise, he was put to death. That was a Zoke Mamre. This is how severe the penalty was in order to retain the Achdus, the unity in Klal Yisrael. Kishohoya Beis Din HaGodol Kaim, when the great court existed, Lohoi Samachlekes B'Yisrael. There was not any division in Israel. And its place was at the compound of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. And actually, the Shechina, which brought this about during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, this, the Maral writes, was to a greater degree during the second Beis HaMikdash than even the first Beis HaMikdash. Because during the first Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael was divided. There was Yehuda and there was Yisrael. But in the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no division. So the Kedusha of the Shechina dwelling in Israel, this Kedusha was that of oneness, where all of Israel became one, and then they became one with Hashem. Now, therefore, what was the greatest enemy of this oneness when they became Machlekes? And this Chazal tell us that this generation was full of machlekes and loshon hara and sinas chinam, hatred between man and his fellow man. Therefore, this is what destroyed this bracha. When the Gemara comes and tells us that Akamtsu, Bar Kamtsu, Choruv, Yushalayim, doesn't mean on this isolated case. It means this was the final episode. Kamtsu Bar Kamtsu is what existed in Eretz Yisrael at that time. The fact that such an isolated case like that could take place, see, this is what existed in Klal Yisrael at that time. And this was the final, see, straw of it. And Dafke, specifically, because of this, specifically Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Not the other places. Because the brocha of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash was that of the Shechinas Hashem, that was that all-encompassing degree of Shechinas Hashem which united Klal Yisrael together. Once there became division, once there became hatred, fragmentation, it drove the Shechina out. Drove the Shechina out, came the Churban. Actually, the Maral explains that this Kamtsu or Bar Kamtsu has very strange names. Kamtsu. Kamtsu and Bar Kamtsu. But it's not for nothing they were called this. This was a remes. This was a subtle insight, not only into them, but into the generation. Brings it the word Kamtsu. Means kmitzo. We have, for example, in Vayikra, by the Korban Mincha, at the end of Shmos, it says Vakomatz Mishom. When someone would bring a meal offering, so then it was a mitzvah on the Kohen, Vakomatz Mishom, he would take a handful, see, a handful of the flour from the rest of the solace. This is what the word Komatz means. He says that means division. He would divide the flour by taking a handful away from the rest. So their actual names were names which read division. It goes further to say, we find that the Targum of Chagav in the Parsha of the Meraglim, Shlach, when the spies came back from spying out Eretz Yisrael, they said, there were such giants in the land, and they looked at us like grasshoppers. So Rashi brings that they looked at us, and they said, what are grasshoppers doing in our vineyards and gardens? So the Targum Onkelos on Chagovim says, there he brings Kikamtsim. So Kamtsu is what a Chagav, a grasshopper, is called in Targum. He says the grasshoppers are known for their enormous multitudes. He says that's why the plague of grasshoppers we refer to, the Chagav we refer to as Arba. Arba comes from the word ribui, because they come in the millions. But the Gemara brings on the grasshoppers, it states, Ein lehem melech, they have no king. And the Gemara brings the same thing on the Nemolo. On the Nemolo, Shlema Melech writes, Lech ala Nemolo otzel asher ein lo katzin v'sheter. When he wants to give Musa rebuke to the lazy one, he says, go to the ant. The ant has no king. He has no manager. He has no leader, and still look the way he works. The king is the one who takes great multitudes and is ma'ached. He makes one out of them. That's nationhood. He makes them one nation. The fact that these have no king shows division. So the word Kamtsu itself means division. And these were their names, and this was the Chet Ador. This is what the nature of the generation was. So therefore, this was the final episode which brought down Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. This opened the doors for the Romans to come in. Tur Malka, There we said their bracha, their maila, their great dimension was that of ribui, enormous multitude. The 600 cities, all the size of those that went out of Egypt. And they prided themselves in this. This is why when they would marry off, when they would marry off a chosin and a kala, so they would bring a rooster and a hen. The rooster and the hen, this was the symbol of multitudes, of the birchas ariboy, peru avu. And they prided themselves on this. And this is what Tur Malka was. But, as we said before, since this brocha was not a brocha by itself, this came because of the Shekhinah Hashem, the dwelling of Hashem in Yerushalayim. And since Yerushalayim now was already destroyed, so this brocha dried up. So that's why the Romans took their rooster and hen and from there went to devastate that whole Tur Malka. This is the reason why first the Churban of Yerushalayim took place, because this was the source of the other brochas. And then only later the Churban, the destruction of Tur Malka and Beitar. Beitar, we said their dimension, their maila was that of strength, of keach. And they recognized this. And they were mispara in it. This is what they glorified themselves with. And it was for that reason that when a young boy, a baby boy was born, or a young girl was born, they would go and they would plant trees. And these trees were for their house when they would get married. The strength of a person is really when he marries and in his home. First of all, when he marries, now he's stronger. See, like Shlomo HaMelech said, the teva shnayim ino echod, two are better than one. If one falls, the other one will help him up. But the strength of a person lies in his home. If he doesn't have a home, so he's a wanderer. He has no kfiyas, he has no anger. He has a home, this is his fortress. So this is what they viewed as the greatest brocha. And as a symbol to this, they would plant a tree. A tree always represents strength. Etz Chaim hi. Because a tree is the greatest and the strongest of all vegetation. There's no vegetation which is as strong and great as a tree. And that lasts so long. The life of a tree is even longer than the life of a person. And the strongest of the trees is the eris. Kiaze alvonan. And therefore, when a son was born, they would plant a tree. They would plant a tree with an eye to his future home. Because that would be an additional keach, additional strength to them. And the symbol would be a tree. And it would be an eris. It would be a cedar tree. But once the Shekhinah left Yerushalayim, then there were no brachas left. So the Romans came and took their trees and eventually fell on Beitar. We see that the main chait was that in Yerushalayim, the main sin. The others were not actual sins. The Romans came and they wanted to protect themselves, except they should have been more careful. They were too brazen. But they were not actual sins. Just like we said that the main brocha was the brocha of the Shekhinah. The other were just outgrowths of that brocha. Now, we see here what's interesting to note, that when it came to Yerushalayim, the Romans didn't come and take the Beis HaMikdash. There, to the contrary, it says it was destroyed because of Kamsa bar Kamsa. Then later on, the Romans came and burnt the Beis HaMikdash. But we see when it came to Tur Malka, the Romans came and it took the rooster and the hen. The Romans themselves, they came and they took the rooster and the hen. The Tur Malka, the people of Tur Malka, stood up against them. When it came to Beitar, the Romans came and took the cedar tree. They took the tree. They took the tree to fix the wagon. And they stood up to protect themselves, to take it back. And then came the downfall to Beitar. Now, why was there this difference? The Maral explains as follows. The truth of the matter is, even though they didn't know this consciously, but I mean, this was their nature. When it comes to Birchas HaKeach, or Birchas HaRibui, the broch of great multitudes, of the broch of great Keach, that also could belong to the Romans. Romans come from Esav. And that's a brocha that has a great connection to the Olam HaGashmi, to the physical world. And Yitzchok wanted to give that brocha to Esav. Except Yaakov. Achicho bar b'mirma, Yaakov came through cunningness and he stole it from him. And this is something which is Shayach, which is in Esav's realm. Therefore, when Esav sees great multitudes by Israel, his nature is to take it. It's mine. Our grandfather Yitzchok, our father Yitzchok, he gave it to us. It was your father Yaakov that came and stole it from us. So therefore, they took the chicken and the hen. And when they see great strength, physical strength, the fortress of Beitar, the trees, the cedar trees, they went and took it. That's ours. Your grandfather stole it from us. That's why in those cases they went and took it. But Yerushalayim, the brocha of Yerushalayim is Shekhinah. Shekhinah is not physical. See, Shekhinah is bilti gashmi. Shekhinah is a world which is beyond this world. And even though Yitzchok wanted to give it to Esav, in the end he never gave it to him. But Esav has no identification with it. Because Esav gave up this world. This is the deal he made with Yaakov. Yaakov said, "You want the porridge? The porridge represented this world. Because you're dying from hunger. Sell me b'cheiroscha, sell me your firstborn birthright." She says, "What's the firstborn birthright for?" He says, "That's the schus, that's the merit to serve in the Beis HaMikdash." He says, "What will I have from that?" He says, "You'll have reward in the next world." He says, "What do I need the next world for? I want this world. I'll give that to you and you give me the porridge." So anything in this world he can identify with and he has a claim on. But when it comes to something of the next world, that he can't identify and that he has no claim on. Therefore, when it came to the Beis HaMikdash, that he couldn't destroy, he couldn't take, that we had to destroy. And we destroyed it through our machlekes and sinas chinam and loshon hara, kamsa baka, ubar kamsa. Later, after we destroyed it and we chased out the Shekhinah, then Titus, then the Romans could come. And even then he couldn't take the Beis HaMikdash. He could destroy the Beis, he could burn the shell, but he couldn't take it. But when it came to the strength of Beitar, which was represented in the cedar trees, or the bracha of Tormalka, which was represented in the rooster and the hen, that they went and they took. Because that they also can identify with. These are some of the explanations that we have in the Gemara, where the Gemara tells us that Yerushalayim was Chorav Vakamtsa Bakamtsa, because of Kamtsa and Bar Kamtsa. And Turmalka, because of a Tanagula Vatanaglusa, a rooster and a hen, and Beitar, because of Saka the Rishpot, by the chariot, the axle of the chariot. We should see Bimheira V'Yameinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send his Yeshua and his Geula L'chol Beis Yisrael, where we will have our Beis HaMikdash rebuilt Bimheira with the Melech HaMashiach, and we will all be Klal Yisrael again, will be reunited in the Yerushalayim Ki Ir Shechubra Lo Yachtov.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.